I used to love my morning coffee until it stopped loving me back. The bloating, the discomfort, it just wasn't worth it anymore. Then I found Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's real coffee blended with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics. Now I get my morning ritual without the crash or the discomfort. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, you could win $100 cash or even get your entire order refunded. Head to everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
I was trying to vibe with some words while the music was going.
We are back in the building on the set of Shift Real Talk. Okay, you listen, if we say something today that helps you, or if you just want to hear more about what's going on here on Shift Real Talk, where we talk about love, life, and relationships, make sure you subscribe, okay? Now, we want you to be a part of the conversation. Make sure that you put your real talk in the comments. Just write it out in the comments, and yes, we will make sure we talk back to you. You can actually listen to us. If you don't want to talk, just listen on all platforms, all podcast platforms. We are now Shift Real Talk TV on all platforms. All right. Now, last but not least, I'm your girl, Lady Free.
I'm your boy, Pastor Jay.
And I'm Zany.
And welcome.
We praying for Zania.
Y'all.
We praying for her today.
So listen, today we have a dope topic for you.
Yes.
We talking about frustrations.
Is that what we talking about today?
Yeah, it's like I'm frustrated and I've been holding it all and I've been quiet about it. And now it's time to let it go.
Before, you said last but not least.
I'm
going to say last but not least, least.
Okay.
Please subscribe to this channel if you want more content. Subscribe.
Yes.
All right.
Hey. All right, then. So listen, we're talking about frustrations today, y'all. What you got for me, Pastor Jay?
Well, frustration. Well, you know, I always... It's so funny because today I had to deal with a situation. Y'all are emotional. I gotta say it. Y'all women are emotional.
Watch it.
Y'all are emotional. And when, because you guys hold so much stuff in, when it comes out like a bomb. Boom, it explodes. Mm-hmm. So I really had to almost break up a fight between two grown ladies. Frustrated. Now, we were in a professional setting, so I don't understand why the situation was not worked out professionally. But because we were in a private setting, but they were frustrated, and I, you know how I know they were frustrated? Because I talked to both of them. I had to not only play breakup or play referee,
right,
but I had to play pastor, had to play counselor, I had to play so many roles.
All the hats.
I put on all the hats. And come to find out, one of the women, she lost her daughter. Her daughter passed away.
Mm-hmm.
So she said, I have a quick temper. I said, no, you don't have quick temper. You just respond through anger. Mm. You respond through anger. And I said, now, mind you, I didn't know her daughter passed away. Like, wow. She found her daughter, you know, dead.
Wow.
Which is, oof, you know, but and who wants to, you know, find that? You know, that's something to deal with, you know what I'm saying? But the point was, this is something that she was holding in. She didn't share that with anybody.
Right.
But when it came to something simple, it was a small situation, she just came out, like, ready to fight. And it was like, boom, boom, let's, right, you know, boom, boom, boom. You know, is everybody looking at her like, you causing a problem. But, you know, she was really masking some pain and she came out angry. So my question to you guys, moving on, what to you guys is validation?
Validation?
Yeah. I'm going somewhere. That's why I'm asking this question. What is validation?
You threw me.
I'm going somewhere. Trust me, I'm going somewhere.
I was like, validation?
Yeah, what is validation to you guys?
Validation? Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. Because I was thinking. Go ahead.
What is validation?
Validation to me is, if you don't understand the question, or if you feel like the question is wrong, ask a question to gain understanding before you respond in a way that could be offensive. That validates to me that you value me, my opinion, my voice.
Okay.
So when you don't do, when you just respond and lack clarity, I feel like it starts to feel like a power trip and then lack of validation. So for me, validation is just communication for me. Communication is huge for me.
Okay.
So your communication for me is validation.
Okay. So when I think about validation, I think I had to break the word down in my head. That's why I said I'm thinking valid. When something is valid, it's approved of. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, that's what I think of approval. This is something that is accepted as reality. It is what it is. I don't want to add too much, because you know you talk too much.
You
try to sound smart, and that's what I was about to try to do, because I had to think about it. So it's like, no, it's approved. It's accepted as reality. It's accepted as real.
Yeah. Validation pretty much simply is acceptance. And everyone wants to be validated.
Yeah.
In some form, everybody. Some shape, and some waveform shape, or however you shape it, everybody desires to be validated.
Yeah.
They desire to be accepted.
Yeah.
So what happens?
I thought you meant personally. I'm sorry, I misunderstood.
Yeah. No, I got you. It's acceptance. When you want to feel validated, you feel accepted. You feel like I'm heard.
Yeah.
You feel like I'm heard. You feel like you see me.
Yeah.
You see me. You understand how I feel. That's validate. You validate my feelings. You accept how I feel. You accept who I am. And you. So when you feel validated, when you feel validated, that makes you feel, you know, better dwelling in this society world who, you know, this society or this culture who deems validation. What happens is when we don't feel that way, when we don't feel accepted, when we don't feel like we are heard, what do? Either we express it or we shut down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or we shut down. So majority of the people, because you don't feel accepted, instead of dealing with it, a lot of us shut down.
Yeah.
And we won't say nothing. So we're holding on to these feelings of not being accepted, not being heard, not being understood, not being accepted for who you are, flaws and all.
Tisha said acknowledgement.
Yes, exactly.
Acceptance and approval and acknowledgement.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what happens is there are some things that are inside of us, and they're called activators. Like, they're little things that drive us.
Mm-hmm.
They're things that drive us. What if I could ask y'all a question, those who you are watching in a radio TV land, what are some things that drive you? Like, I'm going somewhere with this. I'm going to trust me. Follow me. What are some things that let me say this. There are some people that drive us or activate that activator that's inside of us. There are some people who do it. Who are some people who activate you guys?
I know my spouse.
Okay. Mia, the Lady Free. Good evening to everybody who's tuning in.
My
Lady Free
family.
Answer.
Yeah, family.
Okay, so let me go here.
Because I don't really know what activators are.
I got you. So the activators are people who motivate us, who gives us that drive to go on. Now, there's some people in this level of wanting to feel validated, who give us a drive. Now, this drive could either be positive or this drive could either be negative. Example, if there's somebody who you look up to, right, and they disappoint you, right, mm-hmm. and they disappoint you. Now, because of that disappointment, some of us, again, here's another form of or another way that we shut down because we look so up to this person. You know what I'm saying? We look up to this person and this person is, you know, I had a couple of people that I looked up to, you know, musicians that I really idolized, and they embarrassed me in a setting of where there were thousands of people in the church and they embarrassed me. Mm-hmm. And even though they motivated me, it made me feel like I never put myself in that position to really admire somebody the way that I did this certain person. Mm-hmm. But what it did was it made me realize, like, listen, you know, this is, even though it's a negative drive, it's still something that caused me to say, hey, listen, this is something that I'm taking to now make it a positive situation. So here I am. Okay, let me get back to my point because I don't want you to say, you know, my wife looking at me. Let me get to my point. The point that I'm trying to make here is that there are certain things and there are certain issues and there are certain things that we go through that cause us to not only want to feel validated, but it causes us to not know how to express these levels of feelings. And when we get into a situation where, you know, we don't feel like our feelings are going to be heard, or we don't feel like our feelings are going to even be understood. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Some, you know, and some people, you know, like I said, we have been trained, even from little, we have been trained to either have a voice or to not be heard. Sometimes our parents, you know, I heard my wife say, you know what I'm saying, when she had issues with her sisters and you know, when they would disagree or when they would have issues, mm-hmm. or, you know, you know that, you know, and I'm sure my father-in-law won't mind me saying it, but no, you know, he would say, y'all be quiet, hush, you know, nobody say nothing, and it's just like, well, but dad, we got an issue, we want to work it out, like, come on, like, yeah, I want to, before I just bust, and being held in so long, being held back so long from expressing how we feel, from being held back so long from not feeling like how we feel matters. You know what I'm saying? What it does is it causes us to now look for a level of validation. It causes us to now look for a level of being activated or being motivated. So we come to points where some things that motivate us or some people who validate us are not good for us. You know what I'm saying? So, mm-hmm. you know, y'all come on and chime in. I don't want y'all to make me feel like I'm talking too much. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it's not about you talking too much. It's just, as far as like the frustrations of it, I think I get where you're going to a point of when we don't, that's one way that frustration comes up is when we don't feel validated. And there are also some emotional and psychological effects that come from our unspoken frustrations. And those are the things that impact our relationships. So, I mean, what are some of those things? Because I know people who are frustrated, a lot of times they don't realize that they are frustrated. They don't realize that there are some things that are activated inside of them that causes the frustration. And maybe those activators do motivate them, but in the time of frustration, that's not a motivation. That's it's like the tension between your desire and your reality. So there's a desire that you have to be heard, to be validated, to be acknowledged, to be seen, or whatever the case. And then there's a reality that maybe I'm not being heard. Maybe I'm not being seen. Maybe I'm being rejected or abandoned in this moment. But there's tension in between the two of them, and it's like both of them pulling, and soon that tension will cause that a pop or an explosion, and that's where frustration lives, in that explosion. It's like when you have a pot on the stove and the pressure cooker, and it steams and steams and steams, and then all of a sudden you get that big steam that just pops through. That's the frustration. It's that tension. Mm-hmm. So what are the emotional or the psychological effects? Because people need to understand there are some effects that happen in the relationship that impact your relationship behind those frustrations that you don't talk about, the stuff that you keep inside for whatever reason. So what are those things?
So let me ask Pastor Jay, if you don't mind using the example you used, what was the straw that broke the camel's back with the two women? What was it that set the woman off that the other lady did that she received that frustration?
You know, a lot of times when we get into arguments, what we're doing is we're arguing being heard or being understood. Mm-hmm. That's what it boils down to. Because when it comes to argument, meaning you don't hear me. So because you don't hear me, I'm trying to prove my point to you, because what you're taking, or, you know, what you're thinking I did or what you're thinking I said is your thought of it. So I'm trying to let you know that how you feeling or what you doing to make me feel like what I did or said is validated by your opinion. So what we do when we argue is we are arguing, trying to make each other hear what each other is saying. And because we don't hear, and that's what happens, and this was a prime example of it today, because they did not hear one another, they were screaming and yelling at each other, and it was escalating and escalating.
So what was the thing about? It was about hair.
It was about hair. It was something small as hair. She wanted the girl to do her hair.
Okay.
And the girl said, I didn't feel like doing it. I was just, no, she had something to do that she couldn't do her hair. So she came in this was yesterday. She came in today and was like, you know, I wanted my, so she actually cut the hair off. And everybody else in the shop was saying, well, why did you cut it off? Well, I asked her to do my hair and she didn't want to do it. And she was like, no,
okay, I didn't say I didn't want to do it. It's a lot of she's and she. So let me get a little clarity. Okay. Because I'm a better storyteller than you are, babe. All right.
Hey, Tisha.
So there was a lady who worked at the shop. You know, at the hair braiding shop, you have all the ladies who do hair. One of the ladies that do hair asked the other ladies, hey, can y'all braid my hair?
Yeah.
They didn't braid her hair. So I guess in her frustration, she cut it. She just got it cut off. When she came back to work the next day, she probably thought about it for throughout the night or whatever. But when she came back in and spoke her frustration. Y'all did not do my hair when I asked y'all to do my hair. I guess that's something they do. Like they do each other's hair.
Yeah.
So when they did not have the time to do her hair, she felt some kind of way. And she spoke her frustrations out. And then the other lady spoke back. And then it got into a heated argument. And then it blew up.
Yeah.
And that's what happened.
Yeah, so they.
So, you know, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Come on.
I was going to speak to I was going somewhere with that.
Okay.
Because I know you said that women are emotional, but we're looking at the straw that broke the camel's back.
Right.
But what she may have, and I don't know this to be factual, but what she may have been is observant of how every time somebody else acts, they make, you know, what they put things to the side, they go out their way to make sure the other person's taken care of. But when I ask, then I have to wait. So stuff like that for women, even though, you know, which I'm not gonna lie, we can be emotional, but there's also a story behind why we get to that breaking point. Because like she said, I'm already full of pressure because I lost my child, right? But then I'm observing that y'all treat me different. So when I finally give you a chance to prove that I'm wrong, I'm just acting like my, you know, I'm just within myself and my emotions. You proved me right. So the hurt I was feeling is now magnified because now I have evidence to support what I was feeling.
Yeah.
So those emotional and psychological effects has to do with a history.
Hmm.
Is what I'm getting to.
Yeah, yeah.
It has to do with a history because we always look for facts to support the feeling and the emotion we have, because we do understand as women that we are emotional. But once we have facts to back it up, then it's kind of hard to bottle it up then.
I wanna speak on the how we constantly say women, we are emotional. And mm-hmm. I hear that so much. It's like, I know as women, we are emotional. We all, human beings, have emotions. Mm-hmm. The expression mm-hmm. of those emotions are different. Men are emotional and they mm-hmm. don't get as much press as it happens when women are emotional, but we are all emotional beings. Frustration is not just limited to the emotions of the women. Because in this instance, yeah, it was women. But there are times when, and I can attest to the fact of because I'm married or and because I work around other males, that they are emotional too. It's just the way they handle and carry their emotions come across differently. And sometimes it doesn't come across differently than ours. It's just the way it is.
Absolutely. I just want to real quickly, Tisha put, also at this age, I've learned to place my energy in peaceful environments and people. I don't entertain those that make me feel invaluable or those who have constant conflict conversations. And I read that because it is so true, like what Zania was saying. Yeah, and you you're right, babe. It's a culture thing, but let me go here. A lot of times, because we have dealt in situations where we haven't been validated, or because our feelings were not heard, you know, when it's easy to get those feelings triggered when somebody in a conversation is actually triggering what you're already feeling inside. If you're already feeling mm-hmm. like I'm never being heard, and here's somebody else being who's not hearing me, you know, these are internal things that we really have to deal with and that we have to face. Like, you know, why do we? And that's a good question to ask you guys. Why do we look for that validation through people? You know what I'm saying? And that happens a lot because, you know, I believe if you really know who you are and you love who you are, you know what I'm saying, and really understand who you are, then would you need validation from somebody else to let you know who you are or feel?
Well, you just said it. You believe if we know who we are. If you ask the average person in the middle of conversation, stop everything and say, okay, who are you? They'll only be able to tell you what they do at work, what their titles are, maybe in a church or religious setting. But to say who they are, a lot of people don't know, and they're in search of that very question.
Mm-hmm.
Who am I? So where does validation, where does our desire come from to seek validation from people? Who else are you going to get it from?
Yeah.
Because we have not been taught to figure out first, who am I? Who did God say I am? Because you can't get who you are from a person.
Yeah.
We seek things from each other because that's who we have connections with.
Absolutely.
That's who I rub elbows with. That's who I
You like am. Elbows.
That's who I am in constant contact with, other human beings, and that's the way it's supposed to be. So when it comes down to it, it's just as simple as that. Like, who am I? Like, if I really had to think about that, and you asked me that right now today, I would still have to think, dog, who am I? Like, really, who am I?
Who are you?
And I don't also think that it's always connected to who am I, right? I think validation sometimes, it could be interchanged with connection. So you're looking to connect with other people, but you don't want to connect, like Tisha said, you don't, you know, because you want to place yourself around people who believe in you, right? Who can see what you already know that's in you, who's not going to speak against you. So when you find that village, and then you feel invalidated by that village. Not that you need them to validate, but if you're going to connect to them, of course you want them to see you for who you are, you know?
Because
you're confident. I know what I bring to the table. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to connect to people who don't see who I am, because all you're going to do is tear me down.
Yeah.
So if I connect to you and I feel like you don't see the gifts, or you're not utilizing the gifts, then of course I'm gonna feel invalidated, because now I connected to somebody who don't utilize the gifts, like, you know, like what I see in myself.
There is a video that's trending, y'all, and I'm sure you guys seen this, because this goes to our next question. How does unspoken frustrations impact who we are and in our relationships? But before we do that, there is a video that's out trending. Mm-hmm. There was this pastor, this lady pastor, who got up in the middle of service. And she said to this young lady, who was the praise and worship leader. She was the praise and worship leader in the church. And she said, I'm going to rebuke this thing right now, because we're not going to have this thing in this church. She got up and said,
"Jesus,
you didn't hug me. The way you hugged me was not right. And I felt something behind that hug. And you looked like you wanted to talk to me, but you didn't, you know, you had a little at whatever you had. And so I'm gonna just call it out right now in front of everybody, because open rebuke is better than silent love." And I was like, "Huh? you just did not do that. You did not do that. That thing, it made me cringe, because at first of all, especially, here's a level of connecting to being connected. Here's a level of being connected, wanting to feel validated in, you know, being, you know, through God. And here you are. Now, this lady said one thing. She said, "God told me to clean." Now, I know that was order, first of all, because you don't clean the house. God, that you don't clean. You ain't got the authority to do that. I just don't believe that. Because that's
if
God.
She had ought, she should have went to her privately.
She said God told her to clean. God told her to clean the house. Huh? Huh? Wait a minute. Because the way you did it, it caused dissension. It caused dissension. She hugged everybody, hugged the praise team, and walked off the stage. Dropped the mic, walked off the stage.
I didn't see it.
You didn't see it, but it's trending. All you got to do is go on Facebook, and I promise you, it's on there. And then the husband got up afterwards and validated and gave a scripture, said, "Well, if you sin, then you ought to call it out." Where was the sin? She hugged her wrong. She hugged her wrong.
She don't even know. Here's the kicker, right? When I saw it, and she said she hugged me differently than when she normally hugged me. And I laughed within myself, because I said, what if the different hug was a sign to say, "I'm hurting today, and I need you to be here for me."
That's what I was trying to say.
But you rebuked her because it felt different. What about maybe was it pulling on your spirit to pray for her? But it was different, so we got ought. No, you had that in your heart, and you should have put her to the side. And then you say, "I tried to talk to you, but you didn't want to talk." Maybe she didn't know what to say. Like, then you should have got an elder of the church. "Come here, mediator. I need you to stand right here, because we're not seeing eye to eye."
That's
but what,
the word.
What you shouldn't do is, you should not get up and rebuke her in front of the church, in front of, even on live. It was on live.
It was on live.
So whoever was watching, you rebuked her, and you actually caused offense between y'all. So what and who did you edify? Because it says everything we're supposed to do is supposed to be for the purpose of edification.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Who and what was edified mm-hmm. through that?
Yep. And here's somebody that you said, that's where I was going. Here's somebody that probably was looking to connect. You know what I'm saying? Because when you are looking, like we said here, validation is acceptance, is looking to connect, is to looking to be heard, looking to be understood. You know what I'm saying? Like, here's a situation where she probably was in a fragile state and just needed the pastor to really pray with her, connect with her, and understand, like, you know, hey, you know, I'm giving my worship, but I'm hurting. You know what I'm saying? This could have been a situation like that. And here she disconnected the whole service, and then she disconnected from what was needed to be done at the time. That was, to me, was totally out of line. And this is a lot of stuff that goes on. Why people shut down, not in only in relationships, but here's an example of how people shut down in the church, where they feel like, if I say something or if I do something and I feel like the Lord is leading me to do this, you're going to shut it down because you don't want to feel like, Tisha said on here, like you are inferior. You know, like, there's a level of authority that you got to display, that you hold. And if it's done out of the order that you think it should be done in, then you're going to call people out and call yourself rebuking. And that's crazy, because we shut down and we don't give God our authentic praise, because you know why? That happened to me.
Y'all know what's so interesting, though, as I'm listening to what y'all are saying, like I said, I didn't see the video.
Yeah.
But while I'm listening to y'all, I'm hearing also that that lady, whoever the leader was, she needs us to have grace with her. Because even though she may have been wrong.
The lady you're talking about, what, the pastor? Or
yes.
The, okay.
Yes, the pastor. Okay. So she may have been wrong in how she handled the situation, but we don't know what is going on inside of her. So sometimes when we look at it, we should not just look at it like who's right and who's wrong. We should look at it that both of them need our prayers. Both of them need the brothers and sisters of Christ to come together and say, hey, you know, I don't know what she was going, what the pastor was going through at that moment, but to see her acting like that, even if it's her normal behavior, then we need to ask God to help her. There's some hurt there. There's something that needs to be healed there, especially if she's a leader. There needs to be somebody.
And I agree with you, sis.
There needs to be some, and I'm not saying she was not incorrect. So that's the problem that I'm having as I'm like hearing. People are saying she was wrong, she was right, she was wrong. No, no, that's a right and wrong. Who cares? Who cares about who was right and who was wrong? When have our relationship with Christ and how we're supposed to represent Christ come down to who's right and who's wrong in the body of Christ? We're supposed to love each other. We're supposed to pray for one another. We're supposed to see error, and we're supposed to come to God about what we see. We're supposed to take our brothers and sisters before the Lord and ask God to help them. Because if we don't do that, then we're just as bad as what she did to that girl.
And
we're persecuting
that
lady, the pastor, for what she did. She, okay, fine. We're persecuting her. Why? Because what we feel that she did, that yes, it broke the hearts of people. Yes, it was hard to watch. Okay. But at the same time, they both need us to rally around them so that the enemy will not be able to continue to have a foothold in that relationship and cause discord within that relationship, within that church.
I totally
within
agree.
The it's body of Christ.
I totally agree.
It's already done, though.
Yeah, I totally agree.
But just because it's already done doesn't mean that we should continue it.
No, you listen. Here's the thing, and you're absolutely what you're saying is mm-hmm. awesome. We don't negate right. and take away what you said because you gave a great
correct.
That is awesome, and you're right. We have to correct. Look at it that way, but let's be honest and real here in this situation. This is not something that just happened. We just happen to see this situation, but this correct. Happens a lot. It happens a lot. So if we don't address it, so the whole point is to address it. Because again, you're right. We don't know what they're going through.
Crucify.
Yeah, but the thing is, this is what's causing the separation. This is what's causing a lot of people to not even go back in the church. You know why? Because the very the very place that they need to come to get the healing, to get the best validation that they can get, but from the Lord and Savior Himself, and the place where worship is supposed to be, we are ridiculing the people, and we are judging them, and we are calling them out instead of really, you know what I'm saying, bringing them together to pray for them and handling situations the right way. There are so many people that I talk to on a daily basis that have been hurt the same way.
And let me tell you something, you're right. And there are also so many people who hold meetings outside of the church talking bad about the man and the woman who are in the pulpit, who true. Talking about what they didn't say right, what they didn't do right, and judging them. They may not say it openly like this lady said it. So we're all doing it to each other. And that's all I'm talking about. Stop. We have to stop doing it to each other. We saw her openly do that. Okay. But then what? It's not nothing better about what she did or worse about what she did than the people that's talking behind the backs of those who are in the pulpits. And we have to also remember too, and I'm not saying this is this lady's situation, but way back when, who was it? John in 1 John, or was it Matthew? He said, I forget which one, but it was said that there are false prophets that have already been sent out into the world.
Mm-hmm.
That was 65 AD, after the death of Christ. That was 1,935 years ago that false prophets were sent out. You don't think that they've multiplied by now? You don't think that they're doing their job the way they're supposed to? You don't think they're infiltrating the pulpits or in the church pews? They're all over the place. That's why we have to be aware of who they are so we can know how to effectively pray. But in the meantime, in between time, because we don't know, we have to begin to pray for one another and stop constantly crucifying. I'm not going to crucify her for what she did. I have done it in the past, and I am not going to lie. Certain situations I have. But at some point, we're going to have to, you say it happens all the time, Pastor Jay. Mm-hmm. Why does it continuously happen? Because somewhere along the line.
Because we don't speak on it.
Because we don't say nothing. Yeah. We don't let them know that this, you're in error.
Okay, so tell me something.
You are in error.
What is your speaking on it going
to
do?
You have to say it.
What is your speaking on it going to do?
Correct, reprove.
It's going to make them aware. Because a lot of times, they may not even be, first of all, this is a learned behavior.
How can you correct something and you don't know the whole story?
Because you don't
pray for that. No, you didn't see the whole story.
No,
you only saw
a
snippet.
Hold on.
You saw a sound bite.
Wait a minute. What we're saying is because it happens all the time, this is a familiar behavior.
Which it should not be in the body of Christ.
You're right. But at the end of the day, if you don't know. So wait a minute. If you don't know what you did hurt me, and I don't never speak on telling you that it hurt me.
It's not our job to go to that lady. We don't have an art with her. They have an art with one another.
No, we don't have
to go to one another.
Yeah, they do.
But as the people looking at a Facebook or social media post, and now we are putting judgment on a whole scene of something
that
we only saw a small snippet of is wrong for us.
No, we're not judging.
Oh, I didn't hear nobody saying nothing that wasn't putting the gavel down.
We don't judge. We don't. We listen. We don't judge. We don't. We listen. We don't judge.
That wasn't judgment.
Hold on. Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
I call everything judgment these days.
No, I'm not calling everything judgment.
Hold on.
Actually, I did.
I'm not condemning her.
Didn't I hear you guys say that people are going? Didn't you say that, Pastor Jay?
What?
That people giving her the business, basically?
No, I know. I said this is trending on.
And you said people are doing what?
They are. It's trending on Facebook.
And how are people?
I'm
responding?
Giving my opinion. I don't know how. I know. Just know right now it is
That's
trending.
What you said.
It is trending on Facebook, and I happen to see it. And when I saw it, it made me cringe.
I get it.
It made me feel like this is an example of why people shut down.
So,
why people don't participate in the church. Why people again get silent. This is the topic that we talk about. Here's an example. Outside of a relationship, here is the church, because it happens in the church. And not only did it happen on that, on whatever day this happened on, this happens consistently because there are pastors who do this. And because we don't say nothing, you know what they do? They feel like because I am the pastor of this church, this is okay for me to rebuke you. But okay, if it's okay, when you go to that scripture, it don't say it's okay for the pastor to rebuke. It says what? Rebuke. An open rebuke, what? Is better than secret love. It don't say where the rebuke comes from. It doesn't specify who it should come from. So at the end of the day, if you doing something that causes somebody to shut down, that causes somebody to feel a certain way, then that has to be called out. Something has to be said about it. That don't say we're not going to pray for it, because we are. You're right. We need to pray for it. But also, we need to say that was wrong, because it was. It happens all the time. Wait
like
a minute.
I said, I didn't let say me, right
let
or
me,
wrong.
Let me say something real quick.
What needs to happen.
Let me say something real quick, because there's a comment that really I have to address for my brother John on here, who said that I need to get rid of my hat. That spirit right now. This is a championship hat. I just had to pause for the cause, John. I'm sorry. Patricia, thank you so much. She said, we have to know that religion caused time for the girl. We have to know the religion. Because it's like the time the girls get pregnant and the preacher brought out in front of the church. Exactly. This is the thing. When the young girl got pregnant, instead of giving her the knowledge and the information that she need or what, you know, we called her, you ain't gonna do that in here. And it's like we openly embarrassed. That does it say rebuke or embarrass? What is that? Does it, because that's embarrassment. It is. Is that rebuking?
I never denied that, that what happened to her wasn't heartbroken. What happened to the little girl wasn't heartbroken. I'm not denying that, but I'm talking about the solution. Yes, it happened and we can't take it back. But when are we going to start saying, okay, so if what we've always done is not working and we continue to do what we've always done and expect a different result, then that is called insanity.
You're right. At now, some point. Now today, today, I'm sorry. But today, like, one of the young ladies, again, she the other young lady that was accused for not wanting to do her hair, the main thing she said was the reason why she exploded was because in her household, she's about 30 years old. She still lives in the house with her parents. Mm-hmm. And her father literally shuts her down all the time. Mm-hmm. She said she's just up to here with trying to prove that she needs peace. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody hears her. When she tries to explain stuff to her father, he says, that don't make sense. You ain't making no sense.
Right.
So he shuts her down.
Okay.
So today, when she was exploded, mm-hmm. it was only a trigger of somebody else shutting her down.
Right.
So you're right. The conversation has to go on. Because at the end of the day, to understand how to have the healthy communication, I believe, yes, we have to pray, but there's some work that we have to do behind praying. We have to say, listen, the way you talk to me today, the way you embarrass me in front of church, it made me shut down.
And that has to do with the two people involved.
No, we give it. No, we understand that. But here's the solution. The solution has to be, again, the way you did this, it shut me down. The way you said that to me, it made me feel like you don't care nothing about me. And again, you're right. We don't know what the pastor's dealing with. We don't know what that praise and worship leader is dealing with. But at the end of the day, that it still shouldn't have been done that way, because there was a way that they could have did that without causing more damage.
Absolutely. And you know what? There are some solutions, you're right, to help solve this. And that's all I was saying. There is a solution. Prayer first, because we don't know the hearts of man. We don't know the motives of people. We don't know what their background was. We don't know what either one of those two people were dealing with. We don't know the past relationship they've had to make her.
So let me ask you a question.
Hold on. Let me finish. What you're confused about? What
you said? We don't know what they're going through, but let's be honest here. If you are the pastor of a church, I'm not saying that pastors don't go through nothing. I'm not saying that. But what could be done wrong when you're preparing for worship? I mean, what is the wrong situation in preparing for worship when you read the book? Because you're quoting scriptures.
Okay, so
you're quoting scriptures. You that means you should understand the word, and you should understand the preparation to get the house ready for worship.
I get
so
that.
How? Well, I don't understand. I'm that's what I'm confused at. Like you saying,
okay, I don't. Okay, so the thing is, I'm going to reiterate this. I have to say this again. I am not saying that the lady was right in how she handled the situation. How do you fix it? What Zania says, if you have an art with your brother, you go to them. She did it. Okay. She did it openly. I'm not saying that was right. There is a right way to do it, is what I'm saying. And Zania already pressed that whole thing out. There's a right way to do it. However, when we see those things happening, and we say, well, I don't like how she did this, and I think that was wrong, because then we take it back to that happened to me, or this is my experience, and then we get triggered, or emotions come up from how we felt about what happened to us in that situation, and now my heart goes out to her. None of that is helping solve the problem at hand. There is a problem. Okay, so we've already said it. There are a lot of unspoken frustrations happening in relationships, church, work, whatever the case. But what I'm saying is, as the body of Christ, he even said when the disciples, he was teaching, and what did he say? We don't do it like that. Oh, yeah, you see how they doing it over there? That's not how we do it. It's almost to say, in my house, we do it. My children, we act like this. this is how we do it. Maybe we need to get back to that. And I'm not trying to be super spiritual, but I'm just saying, if it don't work, it don't work. So we need to go back to what does work. And the very first line of communication to help understand somebody's heart is prayer. Just like me and you in our marriage, in our relationship, when there's a frustration and we have an argument about something, what do we do? What do you say? So I go to God first, right? So that God can help you understand how to come to me
in a way
that you wouldn't have known how to do it prior.
That's the whole point. How do you clean God's bride?
I don't know how. Look.
No. I'm just asking. How are you given the authority to clean something that belongs to God? He said he is married to what?
The church.
The backslider.
So, yeah, and his bride is the church. He said, like Christ, the husband loves your wife like Christ loved the church and gave his life.
Right.
That means the church belongs to God.
Absolutely.
He sacrificed his life for the church.
Right.
So how are you given the authority to clean what belongs to God?
So how?
That's not your job.
So how can we fix that?
How can we fix it?
How can we fix
it? You are in error.
You have to call it out.
You are in error.
I know we're focusing on the two people that encountered this situation, but let's be honest, it affected more than just the person she did. Because the person who was, the person who went through the embarrassment wasn't even the person who posted the video. The person posted the video because it affected them. And then you could literally see the faces of the other praise team members because
walked off crying.
This praise team, she walked up, she told the praise team, the lady who she was on the praise team, Lady Free, I know we didn't say that, but the lady was on the praise team and she told the leader told her, now you can make a decision now. You can either stay here and sing and get it together, or you could just excuse yourself right now, make a choice. And so the other praise team members then was broken, and you can literally see their countenance as they scooted over.
And they did they make a decision to leave?
Yeah, she made a decision to leave. She walked off.
No, they didn't. Because you got to realize, when you're in that predicament, you're not the one who is going to embarrass me. But then you're like, do I walk off and support my sister? Like, it just created a whole atmosphere of confusion.
Right. And who's the author of confusion?
Body language. That's what we're trying to say. That you're supposed to rebuke the devil so he flee. We're not rebuking her because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. But you got to call it out if you're going to rebuke it. You got to rebuke the behavior. The behavior is when they're rapid in the church.
And
right
like
now.
I told y'all plenty of times, I agree with that. I never said you're not supposed to. But the solution is not to just everybody on social media and talk about how they feel about it, and they crucifying this lady and condemning her for what she did. I'm not saying she was right. Now let's go to the other lady, because I don't want, let me even out the scale, because some people are going to be like, well, you this and this. Okay, the scale is even when I say both of them need our prayers. Both of them need it. Now, if this pastor is not called by God and she is not one of us, then the prayer needs to be, Lord, get her up out of there. You know, if she is one who...
Fix her heart.
Say what?
I wouldn't say get up out of there. I'll fix her heart.
But you see what I'm saying? These are the prayers that need to go forth.
Lord, get her in order, because she is out of order. First of all, she's standing in... I'm going to leave that alone.
Okay, but regardless of what we pray, when we see it, our first response as Christians was not to pray. Our first response was to say how it affected us and how it made us feel. The reason why it's on social media is why.
Not all of us.
I didn't say, what I'm saying is not for every single Christian that is in the world who is seeing this. Some of us have compassion. Mm-hmm. Some of us does not. I know that personally for me, if I had seen it before, and I don't even know why I'm talking like this, like I've never seen something and was like, oh my God, because I have. But for some reason right now in this moment, I'm just feeling like we do this so much to one another.
Okay, so. Got you, but let me ask you.
I agree.
No. I wanna bring a situation because you dealt with a situation similar to this before when you was at in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
You dealt with a situation where you wanted to give worship to God, and it was like, what are you doing? Like, get up! Are you playing? Are you faking with God? Or you know? You remember that situation?
They didn't do it openly. They
I'm just saying.
What
if they did it openly and said, what you doing is not real? How do you believe that you would have felt? And they did it openly.
I know that I would not have felt good about it. I probably would have wanted to leave and all the regular emotions that happen. But see, you keep going back to the problem. What I'm saying is we are on the solution. I've already said I get what the problem is.
No,
it's all over the world. It's in every city, every state.
What was my solution? My solution was call it out. It's an error. Let them know how it made you feel.
So you have an art with the lady?
No, I'm saying this is what should go on with them too. I don't have an art.
I was saying
I'm saying the way to fix that and the way to really salute it is a communication has to go on. She has to let her know that, okay, first of all, what you did was wrong. Because you made me feel a certain way. Right. You don't even understand why I didn't hug you the way I did. You didn't even come and get an answer or like come and talk to me. You didn't clarify my hug. But you made this hug a reason for open rebuke, which was wrong, which was dead wrong. So I believe even when it comes to this period, not just this situation, but when it comes to dealing with things that will shut you down, you have to. And I told this to this girl today. I said, you have to express how you feel. I said, because nobody will know how you feel if you don't express it. And a lot of people, what they do is because they don't think people will understand how they feel, they shut down immediately.
Hmm.
And they hold on to stuff. They hold on to it and carry it for a while, and it comes out like a bomb when it is triggered. So right. This is what we were saying, that you must express how you feel, how things make you feel. You have to express it. I didn't like it. There's nothing wrong with you not liking certain things. I didn't like what you said. I didn't like how you looked at me. I didn't like, you know, and it could be you feeling a certain way that it may not be correct. But if you don't express it, then all you're going to do, like I said, is practice a behavior of shutting down and not dealing with the situation. So you must be communicable about being validated or getting your validation. You must get that at any cost.
No, at any cost.
Yes. If it takes for you to write a letter, if you got to write a letter, if you got to express it, if you got to email it, at any whatever it takes.
It says go
to you and say, listen to me.
Right. No, absolutely not. So basically, just so it won't be misconstrued, what I'm saying, just like how you dealt with the two ladies at the church, one of them wasn't a pastor. I'm not. So the whole thing is, yes, pastors are held to a higher standard, but God is going to have to be the one to deal with her in that instance. But what I'm saying is women and men of God, brothers and sisters, this is a clarion call for us. When we see our brothers and sisters, especially those who are in leadership positions, under attack or attacking other people or whatever the case, when we see it, then our first response should be in prayer. Ask God, what's going on, Lord, in her heart that caused her to act like that, and help her in that regard. Some people could say, my prayer is that she is not leading or shepherding a flock of sheep. If she can't, you know, whatever the prayer is, that should be our first line of defense, because then God, he'll end up showing you the heart of people. He'll end up showing you how he see people, and then we'll be able to help one another more. A lot of the hurt that we feel in church can be avoided if we do that first line of defense. Now, I'm not saying all of it will be avoided, because I've been hurt in just about every church I've ever been in. But at the end of the day, the whole point is I'm looking at it and I'm listening. That young lady, she was hurt, and my heart does go out to her. So therefore, I'm going to go look at the video and I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask the Lord to help heal her. I'm going to ask the Lord to cover her and protect her, because that's something hard, especially when it's now on social media. I'm going to also pray and ask God to help the pastor and her husband or whoever it was that you said came behind her, that if they're going to shepherd God's people, that they would shepherd them correctly. Because there is a lot of pain and hurt that's going forth in a lot of these churches, because we're all humans, because we all flawed. But when you are in a leadership position, you are held to a higher standard. And a lot of times people are being put in those positions without even meeting the requirements that God said in the Word of God. And that's the first mistake. That's all I got.
Yeah, because the first thing I thought about, you know, to your point, Lady Free, when I saw it, like I said, my heart started aching, right? And the first scripture that pops in my mind, and I'm not going to quote it verbatim because I can't remember it verbatim, but it was like, woe to him that scattered the sheep.
Jeremiah 23.
Because I thought about the look on the lady's face when she hugged everybody before walking off. And I said, I wonder if she'll ever return to church again.
My goodness.
Because she may have just ran her away. Right. And then I start thinking about her, because she stood in boldness after that. And like you see, I'm getting teary eyed now, because like I said, that's learned behavior. Mm-hmm. That may not even be who that pastor is, you know, that may not. That's why I say I'm not condemning her, because that may not be who she is. But that's the behavior that's being taught in leadership these days. And it make it seem right, you know, the ways that seem right to a man, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's how church is starting to look. It's trend, and it's breaking my heart, because it's breaking the people.
Yeah.
And it's scattering the sheep.
Yeah.
But then it's causing the woe on the heads of those who are ignorantly, you know, practicing these behaviors.
Yeah.
So that my heart broke for several reasons.
Right.
You know. So you're right. Yeah. Like that's why I agree with Pastor Jay that the solution has to be to somebody has to communicate that was wrong. And I do agree with you. The way social media doing it, we're condemning. We're
and
not
most of it is
giving
us.
Information.
You're right.
Most of it is us.
Yeah, but here's the thing too, it's like Who, and this is what bothers me about a lot of, you're right, a lot of people who hold the office, who deems how worship goes? Like, why do we feel like we have to control as leaders how the worship goes, or who's worthy enough to do the worship? Because in those days in the temple, that was what it was. We came into temple just to worship. But when we preached, we went out into the marketplace.
I think that's a little different, though, because back in those days, they came to worship in the temple. But today we have people standing before those people of God who are called praise and worship leaders. But I don't even understand. I mean, how does that fit into?
Yeah, I'm just saying, who has the authority to deem how worship goes? Like, why do we feel like there's a sound of the house? There is how certain things should go. Like, why is there an order now in church? Is this the religious church have become that religious that there has to be a voice that has to be heard to make it worship? Does it have to be?
I think that's a whole nother podcast.
You're right. That is a whole nother podcast. Because now it's like the devil trying to cast out. You know what I'm saying?
Listen, we can't even get into that, sir, because we don't have enough time to really unpack that question you just asked. Not on this podcast.
So here's the thing.
Okay,
I'm gonna reel it in.
Please.
I'm gonna reel it in.
Okay.
At the end of the day,
your line all the way out there.
Look.
You did one of these. Come on.
because the thing is, like, but like Zany said, it hurt a lot of people And simply because it goes on consistently. It's like it is consistent and we've lost focus. And we don't realize that these are the things, even as parents, we got to make sure that even as parents, even as leaders, as pastors, that the very decisions that we choose, that could either help people or it could hinder people. Mm-hmm. The decision that Jonah made to not obey God, to get on the ship. Do you know that the people that were on the ship were suffering from Jonah's decision? And a lot of times, if we're not careful as leaders, there will be people on the boat with us that are going through a storm that they didn't cause.
Well, okay. I guess I'm playing the angel's advocate today.
That they didn't cause.
How many of us take the time to look into the life of the person that we are following the lead of? When it comes to jobs, you have to have certain credentials. When it comes to all kind of other leadership, everything is laid out. This is this and this and this, and we need this, and this is what we're looking for. But when it comes down to the people that we are following, half the time we go to a church, we hear a good sermon, or they sing good, or whatever, and a lot of times we choose based on that. Sometimes we choose based on celebrity. Sometimes we choose based on whatever the reason we choose. How many times have we taken the time? God does say who we certain people we should not connect with.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we know which ones are the ones that are the false prophets that's come out in wolf and sheep's clothing who've come into the house of God saying that they are? We don't know.
You know how
but
you
yet
know
we follow them, yes, and when know we get,
you know how you know.
I mean, what I'm
you do know
what I'm saying. Okay, all right, go ahead. How, no. You said yes.
No,
you do know. You know how
okay,
you know.
I wasn't finished with my
okay,
statement.
Okay, go ahead.
But
go ahead. No, no, go ahead. You said how do you know?
I'm listening.
To the period.
No. The period. It's we running out of time.
Yeah. You know how you know. That's what I'm trying to. Yeah. Because I want to. You know how you know because that boat start cracking.
No.
The boat starts shaking.
That's not the only.
Yes, it is.
That's
throw
one
him
example
off
in the Bible.
The boat.
There are so many others.
Throw him off the boat to calm the storm.
You said
leave the church to
said,
calm the storm.
You said
and then somebody said discernment.
Right.
The fruit. Somebody said discernment.
However, when you following someone, they show you what they want you to see. You don't go to their house. You don't see them in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Mm-mm.
What you mean?
You, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You will hear it. You will watch their actions. When Jesus walked by a tree that was not producing fruit, because I don't care if a tree produced some type of flower, if it's an apple tree and it's producing vines, you already know it's bad fruit. So if you are blinded because you want to be blinded, you see
a lot of times people coming into the church, baby, they babes in Christ. A lot of times they don't know what fruit to look for, whatever. So what I'm saying is we have to understand that there are lost, there are a lot of false prophets that are in pulpits today. We have to figure out, yes, we'll know them by their fruit. Yes, you have to have discernment, but that comes with abiding, staying close to at all times God. That comes from prayer. That comes from reading the word. And if we don't saturate ourselves in those things, we will not know. And it's our fault if we don't know. The solution is stay close.
I agree.
You got to stay close to God, because we're getting upset at some of these pastors who are not called by God, who are called by the enemy. And he's doing his job exactly how he's supposed to do. And we're mad at him because he's hurting God's people. But we the one put him in office. So we have to be careful.
I even think babes in Christ will understand. We'll see fruit.
Okay.
I think they will even see fruit. You
but I do agree with Lady Free, though, because it says to study to show thyself approved.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we want to follow and not read for ourselves.
Yeah.
And then therefore we are blinded. Because like Lady Free said, the word even says that some of us have tickling ears and we go with every wind of doctrine.
And
why? Because we don't want to study to show ourselves
and in
approved.
Last days, y'all, in the last days, which we are in the midst, the thick of it, in the last days, it does say that many will turn away. If that's not a sign that there are false prophets in the pulpits, then I don't know what is. Many people will turn away from Jesus Christ as being the Lord and Savior. of their lives and turn to other religions, turn to their own whatever. And it says that that's what is going to happen. So we just have to understand, while we mad at the people who are doing certain things, yes, go to them. Understand their fruit. Do all of that stuff. But at the end of the day, unless we pray and ask God to show, Lord, show me their heart. Show me, help me to understand the motive behind this. And God can give us wisdom and understanding. We just like fish out of water, flapping around, getting hurt all day long. In every church you go to, you hurt. Because you keep going on your own stuff and not going on the word of God. So...
Well, with that being said, Lady Free, she on here preaching and taking the text. And we're going to take up an offering now, because now the doors of the church are now open. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But listen, y'all, that's our time, man. Boy, we was going in there, man. But listen, y'all, please, let's work on being silent and being frustrated in our silence. You know, let's communicate how we feel.
Yes.
Let's work on making sure that we study the word of God so that we don't connect with those things that would keep us in silence.
Yeah.
That we are intentional on putting ourselves around things that's going to help us grow, mm-hmm. whether it's our families, whether it's our churches, whether it's our friends. If it is no good for you, and it's going to keep us in the level of silence, man, we need to learn that one word,
yeah.
Deuces. It is not good for you.
And they'll know we are Christians, yes. by our love.
That's right. So listen, y'all. That's our time. Y'all, thank y'all. Listen, man, don't forget, if you like if you were blessed by this content today, share it with somebody. You know what I'm saying? Like, share, subscribe to the channel, please.
At Shift Real Talk TV.
Yes. But that being said, yes, I'm your boy, Pastor J.
I'm your girl, Lady Free.
And I'm Zadie.
And we will see you next time. Peace.
Thanks for watching.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers.
I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers. Watch it work.